Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Delighted to see such a great turnout today for our speaker. So I'm delighted to welcome Professor Ritzer Janssen, who's the Dean of Talent Development and Professor of Bioinformatics in the University of Groningen. We're particularly delighted to have Ritzer here today because he brings a wealth of experience in terms of how do you help move your university in their journey towards enhancing their research outputs. And the University of Groningen has done very significantly in changing its culture and also moving up the rankings. But they've done this, and we had a meeting just before this where Ritzer shared some of the experiences they've had where the university encouraged innovative ideas to happen and that the presidents and the senior management supported it. So one of those activities was to appoint somebody as the Dean of Talent, and that in and of itself is a recognition of its seniority, but also the importance of developing talent. And we talked quite a lot, and the talk today, I think, will share with you experiences of what they put in place to help people through the journey, because there is a very significant pressure on academics now in terms of performance across the breadth of the activities in teaching and research and in outreach. And how do you manage that, and what supports are best put in place for the periods of your career? And they've got some very interesting programs that they've done, and we're interested in learning about that. I'd also like to thank Alison Perry, the Dean of Education and Health Sciences, because Alison actually was the person who initiated all this, met Ritzer, and suggested that it would be a good sharing of knowledge at the University of Limerick. Professor Janssen is also going to meet other colleagues during the day across a number of faculties and share experiences in more detail. And there is also the opportunity to collaborate, and we're going to explore those further opportunities. So I'm delighted to hand over now to Ritzer.
Goedemorgen. Hey, there at least I heard two people who speak Dutch. If all the others speak Dutch too, I can continue in Dutch. And otherwise, you've learned one word of Dutch today, goedemorgen. And if you've learned one thing in this 1 hour session, that's great, but I hope you will learn more. Actually, I've been walking around the campus this morning and I heard so many wonderful stories that I'm actually wondering who will learn the most, you or me. I'm representing a 400-year-old university, and so you are sort of a 40-year-old university, and you're perhaps much more a sort of a wild, vibrant community. But let's see. A couple of things to say. I'm a professor in bioinformatics, so I am a researcher myself. But if you look at the top, at the header, you see University of Groningen, Office of the University, Human Resources. So I'm also representing that office department here. And my function as a Dean of Talent Development, if you would summarize it, is creating a bridge between researchers and service departments and getting to understand each other's languages. That was something that was certainly very much needed at our university. The size of the university, just to give you a short introduction, we've got 11 faculties, so a bit more than here, but we actually have 5 main faculties, bigger ones, and a couple of smaller ones that you could actually call more of the level of an institute. But they are still sort of independent because philosophy doesn't really fit into one of the faculties, and their competitiveness is better if they stay independent and be recognized as a faculty. So 11 independent faculties, together about 325 full professors, and then 300 people on tenure track. Tenure track is an important system at our university. I'll speak a little bit more about that. 600 postdocs, 2,500 PhD candidates, and around 30,000 students. That's the size of University of Groningen. Here's the outline of the talk, 3 parts. The first, I'll talk a little bit about the vision of the organization with regards to talent development ambitions and how we have organized it. Then I will show a couple of practical things that we have implemented, not groundbreaking. I understood you've developed your own strategies, so it's interesting to compare them. And then in the end, some as a dessert, some other topics. The position of Dean of Talent Development, it was created in 2011. Before that, it didn't exist. It didn't exist in the Netherlands. Maybe it didn't exist anywhere. And actually, it started a little bit before that. I think around 2008, as a researcher, I had my experience obtaining what's considered prestigious personal grant in the Netherlands, and I was coordinator of EU consortia. And I noticed that, yes, some people are successful in our university. Some faculties are actually lagging behind a lot. But there's nothing in place to share experiences, to share lessons learned, and to help each other to a higher level. So I started to knock on the door of HR. That department provides courses, all kinds of courses that researchers often don't like to take because they feel they are busy with their research or their other work, and taking a course doesn't fit in. But what we proposed is doing courses on grant writing. And then all of a sudden, researchers knocked on the door because there was an increasing pressure on all of us to obtain grants. That was a very, very clear message from the Board of University. All faculties need to become more active, both at the national level and the international level. And I thought myself that particularly the personal grants are important because that's where you can fund your own research line and do the things that bring you a future in science. And around such a project, you can build up additional projects, look for funding for additional activities. So we set up a system where we started to train the applicants from young, even up to the older generations. And first we did it with people up to 3 years after PhD. We just offered a course on grant writing across all faculties. And surprise, surprise, people wanted to attend. Okay, we skilled up giving more courses. Then we did it for people up to 8 years after PhD. And again, people showed up and people were quite enthusiastic about, in the beginning, if they walk into the course room, they say, "You're from science and engineering. I am from arts. Why the hell do we sit in this room? That doesn't make any sense." But quite soon, they realized that getting feedback, both from your close, your nearby peers, but also from quite distant peers, is very, very useful, and they loved it a lot. Then we decided, well, the senior people, up to something like 15 years after PhD, why should they register for a course on grant writing? They probably know how to do it, or they hate doing it and won't apply for grants. But we offered a course, and again, they registered. And from then on, people heard about the courses and more people wanted to join. So that was the beginning. I worked together with a former postdoc now working in the HR department, and we together volunteered to do this. Around 2011, I actually knocked on the door of the president of the university and said, "Hey, we can only do this, but there's so much more that we can do to strengthen our training, our support to research. You guys at the board put all the pressure on these young people, but it's not fair to only put pressure on it. You also need to deliver the support. It won't cost much because we'll do it like I did it. We'll do it with some researchers and some of the people who are already supposed to do it from HR and other service departments." And a week later, he said, "Yes, come back to me. And by the way, I think you should start up a program. You get a 3-year term, and I will call you from now on Dean of Talent Development." I said, "What?" "Yes, for the reason that it opens doors and it tells people how serious we are about talent development." So education, of course, is a cornerstone of our university. Research is a very important cornerstone. And on top, very important, the impact in knowledge dissemination and utilization. These are the focus areas that we started with 4 years ago. We couldn't do all at the same time, so we also got some further instructions. And talent development, don't do everything at the same time, but we had in place an honors college already. We had in place a graduate school, and we did some academic leadership training for senior staff, but clearly there was a major component missing in between. So please start with providing support to the postdoctoral researchers and our tenure track population. These are the young people who need to obtain the funding and need to create impact and need to learn how to lead the teams. So that's where we needed to start. But at the same time, the other ambition was, please look for the academic career from the beginning till the end and make a consistent program. So also look for what do people at the Honors College need to learn if they want to pursue a career in academia? What do graduate schools need to train their students in for those who want to stay inside academia, etc.? So this was where we started. And the ambitions that the university board expressed, they wanted us to be more serious on publishing. And of course, there were many good researchers publishing in Nature, Science, whatever, but they also wanted in all other faculties, everyone to be more serious and to really strive for publishing in decent journals. And the board was a bit one-dimensional, referring to Nature and Science, and we put the number of Nature and Science publications also on our website, because that tells everyone how serious the university is. But I also wanted it to be emphasized that it's absolutely fabulous if you publish in your best journals for your field. It's not Nature Science in itself, and there can be very bad papers being published in Nature and Science, actually. So it's about publishing with impact and thinking carefully about it and not being lazy and submitting your paper to a not-so-important journal. So this reminds me to tell you that on top of that, this knowledge utilization, this knowledge dissemination should be taken way more seriously. Thirdly, grants. We, university-wide, should obtain more grants and more personal grants. On the left-hand side, you see the NWO, the Netherlands Organization for Scientific Research. Below that, you see Veni, Vidi, Vici. And there may be people in the audience who know where this comes from. Someone is nodding. Yes, you know it. It was Julius Caesar who said this. So the Netherlands Organization of Scientific Research has personal grants, and they named them Veni, Vidi, Vici. Veni for the researchers up to 3 years after PhD, Vidi for those up to 8 years, and Vici for those up to 15 years. So personal grants, a very good system in the Netherlands, and we wanted to be more successful, more active. There were faculties who were absolutely, completely ignoring this opportunity. But that is also our learning school for the European personal grants, the starting grant, the consolidator grant, and the advanced grant. And so we train people for all these levels. And our talent development focused particularly on this set of personal grants in our training. We can't support everything, but we hope if we train them here, then that will for sure generate successes in all kinds of other type of grants. That being said, there are of course people who will not be able to win those personal grants and can still be very good partners or even coordinators of EU consortia. But they typically take our courses, give it a try to win the personal grants. If they don't win, it's not a failure. That's very important for us also. If you take up the challenge, reward this. And even NWO rewards some of the non-winners by still giving them some money, particularly females, to support them in the career progression. The left-hand side is Spinoza Award, which is the Dutch Nobel Prize. We have 4 Dutch Nobel Prizes a year, 4 Spinoza Awards, and the University of Groningen didn't win one for 10 years. And we should win at least one every 3 years. So the board was very irritated about that. Oh, and then if you have ambitions, why not put a Nobel Prize ambition on the screen too? We had some sort of a candidate for that and started to work on a strategy as well. And then, as perhaps many university boards like to emphasize, is they like to do better on the rankings. And I said, can we please add this? And this is a logo of the journal The Scientist, who they had a questionnaire every year to figure out what are the best places to work in academia. And I thought, shouldn't that be our ambitions too? Because we are providing an environment for young researchers. We should help them progress in their careers. They should love to work with us. And they should not only serve the goals, the ambitions of the board, but we should serve their ambitions and goals. So best place to work in academia. Now, in 2012, we asked, this was in place until 2013 or 14, then the scientist journal stopped with it, but we asked our life scientists to fill out a questionnaire, and surprise, surprise, already by that time, we ranked number 5 outside US, and so we got exposure for our academic environment worldwide. But that doesn't matter so much for me. For me, it really matters that we support the young people in what they want to achieve. And here you see 9 smiling faces. That's what we go for. This actually was an unfortunately rare event. At one moment, we had 9 ERC starting winners in the same round. You see them all here. These were the 9. We want more of these smiling faces. Young researchers who won, who obtained money, who could do their research of their dreams. What you also see from this is a lack of female faces. So a further ambition is to attract more females or to have females feel that the culture fits them well. And at the end, have more female professors than we have now. We have now close to 20%, which is absolutely not okay. But we're working on that, and I'll tell you more. So, where is talent development placed in the organization? So we have a board of the university, and we have 11 faculties. They have a faculty dean, and within the faculty, they have a funding office. People responsible for supporting the researchers to obtain funding. Then within that, you have institutes, research institutes, you have the graduate school, you have honors college, and they contribute to the university college. So we have 11 of those. Then the board of university came up with 4 deans who sort of go across the faculties, who bind the faculties. So at the bottom, the dean for the university college, then one that's at the bachelor level. At the higher level, the dean for the honors college, we have a bachelor and a master level, who binds all the honors college activities across the faculties. Then the dean of the graduate school, again, across all the faculties. And what was missing, and that was this also what I pointed out to the board, is there's nothing in this structure across the institutes. And that's now where the dean of talent development sort of is supposed to act. So I focus on these, on the research institutes, but at the same time, we as the 4 deans also have a joint responsibility for career progression, for training people who move up the career ladder and do that in a consistent way and learn from each other how to do that best. Then the other part of the organization is the offices and other support offices of the university called research and valorization. It's sort of the transfer liaison, but also the research support is there. Human resources, communication, offense, finance and control, administration, legal affairs. Well, you have them here too. Why do I show them? That's for this reason. Because what I'm supposed to do is also to unite all of these. And on the first slide I showed on the top, University of Groningen /offices/HR. My boss is the rector of the university, so one of the board members of the university, but I am also directly connected to the HR department, and that's where I'm bridging. And I'm actually bridging all these service departments to the faculties, to the research activities. I'll tell you more about how we do that. But all these service departments have a few people who, in a sort of a network, team with me in our current talent development activities. I have no employees. I am heading a program on a 3-year term. I'm now in the 2nd term, and I have a network of people who want to work together on talent development. And I bring the office staff as close as I can to the primary activities of the researchers. On top of that, there is the Young Academy of Groningen. I'll tell you later more what they do. Core team consists at the moment of 2 academic professors, me with a background in science and engineering and a little bit of medical faculty, and another professor from the medical faculty. We work with something like 6 HR people and research and valorization people, and something like 15 faculty funding officers. The faculty funding officers are extremely important for us. And the new generation of faculty funding officers who we recruited on the basis of a completely new job description are very important people. They really inspire the researchers to go for funding. But they're actually also sort of talent officers on top of funding officers. They know what talented people are around, where they are in their career stage, what their opportunities are. They knock on the door and they help. And we all help them if they want to achieve what they want to achieve. Now, on top of this core team, we have a flexible team of people that work with us. If we do courses on, for instance, on grant writing, we have a couple of other professors who love to share their experiences and they train with us. And always we work in duos, certainly in trainings, with a researcher, a professor, and a co-trainer from the HR department. The two team up. We have communication people and the Young Academy of Groningen, and we work with external consultants. Because if you really want to pay a lot of attention to a research proposal, then it can easily take you 20 hours to team up with a researcher and think about the ideas and how the work should be structured, etc. So a lot of work. Some universities hire sort of grant writing officers themselves. We team up with some external parties who have the time and who build up the experience also over many, many applicants on what is helpful and what's not so helpful. We have a tenure track system. It's not consistently used throughout all faculties. Some faculties are only tenure track based and some others are a mix of tenure track and some other approaches depending on their internal and external environment, actually. But we also have a Rosalind Franklin Fellowship, which is a tenure track specially for females to increase the number of female professors in the end. That will, of course, take a couple of years because they first, a tenure track is, they get an appointment for 7 to 8 or 8 years, but they're normally, they will be evaluated after 5 years for promotion because it's also the time when females get babies. And if they do, then they need extension. So that's why we offer them a contract for a longer time so that if needed, they can have extension before they are evaluated. So then they can be promoted to associate professor with the right to have their own PhD students. And after another 6 or 7 years, they can be promoted to full professor. We have at this moment 100 females in this process climbing the ladder. We hope that this will raise our number of female professors substantially. At the same time, we also see that other universities look at it and recruit our females, and particularly successful females. So we have lost already 2 ERC Consolidator Grants winners. But that's all in the part of the business. So please recruit more female researchers as well so that you, and don't hire ours, but other ones. Very important is also the mentoring for men and women, but particularly for women. So we have a mentoring system for the female Rosalind Franklin Fellows. Even that is not enough. We actively train the selection panels and the supervisors of the Rosalind Franklins. Both are very essential because otherwise you have Rosalind Franklin Fellows but supervisors with different opinions, or you have selection panels who still end up with males. And on top of that, we recruit 13 Rosalind Franklins in one application round. This leads to a much higher quality of applicants. We raise way more attention. We are really surprised. So we decided to do this for all our tenure track positions, not to advertise them one by one, but really in chunks of substantial amount so that it attracts lots of attention. If you have a normal tenure track and you have something like 5 or 10 positions, then you can also look for, okay, how is it going in a gender balance? Hey, wait a minute, this is not going right. Before we had tenure track by tenure track, and then, yeah, here you conclude, oh, by accident, it's a male who's the best candidate. And then they didn't know about the others, and in the end, you see, oh, all males. Come on. So now we also have regulations like you're obliged to look for female and male top candidates. You can't come up with only male. So cross-faculty advertisements and scouting. We think we should do a lot better on our scouting. So doing it in chunks of 5 or 10 tenure track positions seems to be working better. But we also advertise across faculties, and that works too. We appointed actually 2 additional people as chief diversity officers, a male and a female. Other institutions have only one, usually a female. We decided, no, we don't do it that way. We make a male and a female responsible, and these are the deans of the 2 almost biggest faculties, the Faculty of Science and Engineering and the Faculty of Arts. These 2 are responsible. So along the career ladder, we developed courses. Here at the Honors College level, actually, we're again lucky that our National Science Foundation offers grants for some faculties, not for all, called a talent grant, or the whole scheme is called a talent scheme. So the master students in the Honors College can write their own applications and possibly get it funded, fund their own PhD. So that's what we train them for. But on top of that, we have decided that for something like 200 PhD positions per year, we require that the candidates have written the proposal, not the supervisors. That's a major shift. And it works. At the graduate school level, the same story. The NWO offers a scheme called Rubicon. It's again related to Veni Vidi Vici. Rubicon is the river in Rome. When Julius Caesar crossed the river in Rome, that was taken as a serious act of war. Well, if you translate that to research, it means that if you apply for obtainer of Rubicon, you're now very serious with the career in academia. And you are supported with a 1 or 2 year grant for establishing your own research line, doing your own research. And then, talent program for postdocs and tenure tracks. Again, the scheme, the Veni Vidi Vici talent scheme of the NWO, but also the starting consolidator ERC grants. This is extremely important. Here you have a picture from the Honors College. This is a session of the course from idea to proposal. We only need 2 sessions for that of 1.5 hours. On the first session, they are introduced in what it takes to write a proposal. And in the break, they're asked, well, what's your dream? What would you love to spend your life on? What sort of problem would you like to tackle? And then during the break, we are always hoping that someone is making a note on the flip over, and then they start. And in the end of the break, we typically have, if the audience is 40 people, we have something like 10 or 12 project ideas written on the flip over already. And then after the break, we ask these people to stand up and briefly describe their idea and then recruit some other expertises. Because Honors College is for all faculties, so they can ask, well, I actually need someone from communication, or I need someone from computing science, or someone from physics. And we see that some people are idea generators, and some people prefer to follow. So in this way, little teams are developed, and there are no people left over. It's really surprising. And in the old days, the professors were always asked for, you have to come up with something like 40 to 70 proposal ideas, please. And then they don't do it, and you have to pressure them. And it's not needed at all. These people can come up with their own ideas. And as part between the first and the second session, they are asked to write a proposal and to look for a supervisor and to argue why this is the best supervisor for their project idea. And they need to get it signed by the supervisor. And it works. It works fantastically. And they will work for 2 years on this project. And you can't see it, but on the wall attached there are posters of the previous generation. And one of the posters is a poster where 2 female students, they walked up to a researcher in chemistry called Ben Veringa. And so the poster has their names and the name of Ben Veringa. And yes, this Ben Veringa now won a Nobel Prize. So these young people, they just walk up to everyone and they can do it. And they build up a relationship with even the most prestigious researchers, and it works. It's fantastic. they learn how to write a proposal, and they learn how to argue that they are young researchers, they still have to learn things. So there is also a plan of why do you choose it, why do you want to learn this? Maybe you have got similar systems or better systems, then share that with me, please. Here's a picture of a course on grant writing for people up to 3 years after PhD. This is the session where we work on the research impact, on the knowledge utilization, on what's your plan. And we use some sort of a storyboard approach for that, where you build up a story, starting with your idea, your research, up to what are your user communities, and why do they want or need your research or your outcomes, or how will you inform these people, etc. They need to start thinking and put notes on a storyboard in a session of 1 hour, build up their knowledge utilization or dissemination paragraph, which is very essential at the moment in the Netherlands. We really call for that. And even the new government puts more pressure on us to come up with a reasonable story and not stay within our ivory tower. But it's fun, actually, and they like it a lot. And there's a lot of innovation at that level, too. So we more and more have to work or deliver a research plan that should be cutting edge and an impact plan that should be innovative. Some numbers on NWO, Veni Vidi Vici, and ERC grants over the years. So when I was more or less the volunteer time, we had from 2008 to 11, 60 ERC NWO grants, and then 73 and 76. So we are not really getting a lot more grants. And for the ERC, it's from 9 to 28 to 25, not more. But it's also because the competition is becoming harsh. And if you are doing better, then we will win less ERC grants, for instance. So too many countries in Europe contribute to ERC, but don't get a return. That can't persist, that system. So we should actually get fewer ERC grants. And it's a bit sad news, but we aren't trying to do the opposite, of course. But continuous improvement of our support is needed to keep the levels high, the numbers high. Okay, some of the steps that we go through in our grant writing support. And it actually starts with a personal funding plan, which is something that's completely unrelated from appraisal interviews or whatever. It must be unrelated. This is a plan where we can go wild. This is where your dream is put on the table and where you start thinking about all kinds of opportunities that may or may not become reality, but also with your supervisor start to think, how can my supervisor help me connect to some important person somewhere, etc. The personal funding plan is also something that we use during job interview. We like to discuss with our applicants already, what sort of ideas do you have for research? A research application is a vision for your future. So we'd like to know this vision, and we also like to know how they want to get this vision become reality through funding. And we see that some applicants say, come on, I'm not going to discuss that with you. And then they are no longer hired. You must be motivated to play the game as it is played at the moment. And we'll help. So personal funding plan is important. And it's a plan looking ahead for the next 1, 2, 3 years. And it really helps people come up with actions that would otherwise not popped up in their heads or in the heads of the supervisors. At the same time, we also need to train supervisors, certainly in institutes where there's little experience with this. But then we actually have sessions with supervisors and the young people together. So if they want to go for a particular grant, we have proposal writing courses. But before they get individual support, we have a support enrollment form that they have to fill out. And yeah, it looks a bit bureaucratic, but it is at the same time a form that is very close to what they have to do anyway if they write a proposal. Sort of mini proposal and mini CV, so that we can discuss. I can discuss. I often have discussion sessions with those individuals, or our funding officers have discussion sessions about their project idea, the project work plan layout, etc. And so it serves an important need. And it turned out that I can even have the same useful discussion with ERC advanced applicants. Very much needed as well. As part of that, we also ask them to really benchmark. Look for who did obtain these grants. What are the names of these people? Do you know them? Also look up the research panels. Who are going to review your stuff? etc. All part of this process. Then we get into the phase of writing support. Funding officers do help with the writing, but we also have a number of external people. We have a few who do a lot for us, and that's very helpful. In some systems, you get review reports and you have to write a rebuttal. That's also very important, because if you don't support that, then certainly the young people will write an angry rebuttal support letter, and that will not be helpful. So how to write a convincing, strong rebuttal letter is something that we train them in, that will help them in. And typically you have a week to respond, so it puts our system under pressure. All these activities come with waves. That's something that's difficult to handle, but we have to. If there is an interview involved, like for ERC Starting or Consolidator or our Dutch Personal Grants, we offer interview training. And this is also extremely valuable. And you train them for the grant, but you also train all kinds of other personal skills. Actually, also, if you have grant writing, you train their writing skills in general. So a lot of other courses are actually indirectly sneaked in through these processes. We typically have multiple mock interviews with the candidates and spend a lot of time on preparing them, even for the questions they really don't want to be asked. And we are happy if our mock interview was harsher than the real interview. And they return, "Oh, I've done an easy job, and if I don't get it, it's not my mistake." So then it ends with the decision letters by the funding agency, and we collect them and analyze them, because there is a lot of information. We analyze them together with the applicants, and if they allow us, we also analyze over all the applicants to see what's changing in the system and how we are doing and how we can possibly do better in the future. And if possible, I also try to call some panel members and have some chats with them to figure out what's happening sort of behind the curtains, the things that you don't see. Yeah, and then analyze for the next time they resubmit or for other applicants who will submit. Grants Week, we program very condensed, 1 week, all kind of information, events around grants. Memberships and awards, very important for us too, and for the prestige and for the career progression of individual researchers. We have a young academies for young researchers in the Netherlands, but also we have initiated one locally in our university. Young Academy people up to 10 years after PhD and across all faculties, and that's what they typically like a lot. At the national level, we have a Royal Academy of Sciences, and we have another one that is more closer to application. The one is more on the fundamental research, the other is more on applied research. And actually, our Minister of Education prefers to talk with the Young Academy people rather than the senior people, because the senior people protect their status there, and the younger people are doing the real work. So they are really also invited by the minister and influencing the minister on what should be done to change the research environment. Now, other awards are talked about, Spinoza and the Nobel Prize. And yes, after 10 years having won no Spinoza Award, actually the last time was our new Nobel Prize winner who won the Spinoza Award. And now we have four more Spinoza Award winners in 2014, 15, and two in 2016. Poor guys, because only a month later, Ben Verga won the Nobel Prize. And so their Spinoza Award is a little bit finished through all the Nobel Prize stuff. So procedure, Young Academy, internal in Groningen, open call, but we check with the faculty deans whether the people are right. The interviews are done now by the members of the Young Academy themselves, usually with some of the Royal Academy members involved too. It turns out it's a very vibrant community. And then the other nominations and awards, we do have an annual survey of all our talent that we have employed. Faculty deans are supposed to know all the names, and if they don't know, they have to ask that for the directors and know what specific talents people have. They don't have to know what talents they don't have. They have to know where these people are unique in. And that's where we build on, and we renew that list every year and use that. Leadership, also academic leadership or career development things. Here you see a picture at the honors level where we have sessions really about would a PhD be something useful for you? Yes or no? What's your future? What's your plan for the future? We do the same at the PhD candidates level. First day when they arrive, we start asking them, hey, what's your destiny? And please become the master of your own destiny. And yes, be realistic. 75% of PhD students will find a place outside academia. We can't all become professor, despite that your supervisor may only be interested in telling that you want to become a professor. It's not reality. So here, from the beginning on, we have a four-year program to prepare them for a career inside and outside academia. I heard you've got very good systems in place here too. So the postdoctoral tenure track level, we have this Young Academy of Groningen. Here you see our first 16 members. They are probably our future directors and deans. Actually, one of them already will become the dean of the Faculty of Religious Studies, which is almost an institute, but okay. But he's taking up that responsibility. But this group also has been given the task to set up training events for their peers, peer community, for the young researchers. So they are now starting to help our team of talent development by developing lunch meetings with the young generation and all kinds of things. Senior level people, here you see members of the Royal Academy of Sciences of our university. On the left-hand side, you see a chemist talking to the philosopher, something that wouldn't happen and didn't happen. And our university didn't, or we had top players, but the board almost never invited them to listen to them. And now we've really changed this. And the top researchers and these academy members are really, we are meeting with the board of university regularly, and we are listening to them. And we are creating a joint vision of how to strengthen the university. And a final part is this, it's celebrate. This is one example of how we celebrate. People who have done something special in the past year are invited for a dinner with the board of university. And the president of the university will have a speech for each individual. So this is how we recognize, celebrate, reward, and show that we appreciate activities. Both successes, but also failures, are good. And actually, our Nobel Prize winner was very strong in expressing how important all his failures were on the long trajectory to the Nobel Prize. We credit individual and team performance, and also academics and non-academics. They are all sitting on the same table, and every course they have to change table so that they meet each other. But it's very important that we have more of these activities. Here have another one. Our Nobel Prize winner had a Nobel Prize lecture in December. In November, we had his tryout, which was a mega hit, which was really fantastic, in the big Martini Church in our city. But we celebrated because his entire group was credited. And actually, the whole university, for the whole university, was so important event. And we had 30,000 cakes being served, things like that. But we over the time, really had to learn how to celebrate and how to make use of that to stimulate ourselves. From cakes to dessert, final note about teaching innovation. My tasks were very much directed towards research, but with the four deans, we are also responsible for this career ladder, and we also thought we need to have more on teaching. And people, if they apply for grants, need items on their curriculum vitae. So we came up with fellowships for innovative teaching. If you get it, you can also put it on your CV and demonstrate that you have been active in developing novel, innovative, useful research classes, whatever. What I liked to do, I'm an academic. I exist if I write and I get it published. So I tried to create my own vision on talent development and get it published at a decent place, so Cambridge University. And I wrote two books for the younger ones, developing your talent in science, and then the funding for your career in science, which is a reflection of what we do in our courses. And there's a Chinese flag on it because there is a Chinese translation coming out. Two of my former PhD students, Chinese, thought that the market could be much bigger. There you go. I can't read it. It's amazing. I trust them. And on the left-hand side is a book that I'm now working on. It's for all those lucky guys who won a major grant and then leading your team. You're now all of a sudden leading a team, so you have to face all kinds of other activities which have to do with human resources or communication or finance, etc. So I'm writing a book on this with the not so hidden goal also to bring these service departments much closer to the primary processes of the researchers, to bring them together. And it could be that the organization of the offices will be restructured a little bit in the near future. Now, there's no causal relationship, perhaps. So, conclusion. My primary driver is to make the researchers happy, but the university, it's still important to be recognized as a good university. So we're improving, certainly on this ranking and also on the other rankings. And since we have now a new Nobel Prize winner, they say, oh, there will be an improvement of another 5 positions or so. Who knows? But this is what drives me most. Here you see the different faculty represented by different people. These are the young people. You see their ambition, and their talent is extremely important. I love to see these photos where, you know, you see this female looking up to this model of a human being, and it's driving her. It's her passion. And the passion is needed for performance. So in the development, what we do is we really focus on the staff's primary process. If they are eager to achieve something, then we offer. We are not obliging them to take anything. We offer things, and the people take it. Thank you very much for your attention.